Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
Free has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Can I say this? We actually did win something yesterday. Okay, so throughout the postseason, Boston has beaten St. Louis like a rented mule in terms of spreads before the game. And then the situation was exacerbated for St. Louis in Game 5 when Boston just shows off and serves these big, huge Maine lobsters. I don't know if you've seen the photo of Jeremy Rutherford. He's got the bib on. Everybody's dipping butter. I mean, it's just spectacular. It's like Boston is spiking the ball. Take that, St. Louis, and your lousy whatever you're serving in that spread before game. And then yesterday, yes, Smoke and Fire shows up. And they cook a pig.
Sugar Fire?
Sugar Fire, yes. Sugar Fire. They cook a pig. And it's prime rib, and it's medium rare, and it is so freaking good. So we did win that. I appreciate them showing up.
And then the puck dropped.
Yes. Just a minor detail. Brian, we have Mike Claiborne on today at 10:30,
we
correct?
Do, efforting another hockey guest for the 11 o'clock hour. Frank, this is a travel day for
yes,
a lot
is.
Of people.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had everything planned out if the Blues would win. I knew who I was going to text, and I knew at what time, and then they lost, and I went, crap, now yeah. What?
That's unbelievable.
People.
I'll be on the Channel 5 See America plan tomorrow at about 6 a.m. I'll be in Boston by the start of Game 7. And then here's the thing, too. This is crazy, and I don't blame our people at all, but the hotel rooms around the area are now $2,000.
So you're staying in what town in Massachusetts?
In Martin's boat. No, we actually found a house. And Cam's going to be with us. We got a house with like 8 rooms.
Is this VRBO or Airbnb?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I heard Uber rides back, or just speaking of price gouging in general, which obviously is a smart business opportunity for some of these.
So Cam's
Uber.
Going. Okay.
Yeah. Uber, Cam is definitely going. I just booked his flight.
Yeah. Uber was $120, they said, to get from downtown to Tower Grove. Somebody
last
said
night?
It was about a $120 Uber ride. Yes.
Wow. Hey, is it true? Somebody showed me some video. Did somebody like bull rush to get into the watch party last night?
Oh.
Did they stop people from coming in? I saw like a little bit of video, and there's like a hundred of them just bull rush to get in the area.
I think the consensus was the gate was perfect for the people that got there early. They
yeah.
said the amount of people was absolutely perfect that they held to, but right when before puck drop, everybody just came in, and that's when they said it was just a zoo, you know. So
in fact, it would be a great topic. I'm sure we have some listeners out there last night that may have been a part of it. Did that happen where they just went through the barricade to try to get in there? Where you guys were probably very strategic and watching in a nice...
I was at the Homestead, thinking that maybe I'd have to work a little bit if the Blues won to try to prepare
yeah.
for today's show. Unfortunately, about 5-6 minutes into the third period, I realized that wasn't going to be totally necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't have a great feeling. I just knew that my work day was going to be long regardless.
So you watched it at home?
I did watch it at home.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did. No offense. I mean, the atmosphere in the afternoon looked amazing, but I think I would have regretted having to, you know, get home after that such a depleting loss.
It crossed my mind to go downtown
yeah.
in the afternoon for the watch party, but then I saw some photos
park
cards
and
already gathering.
Yeah.
People already crowds rather already gathering there, and I'm like, ah.
I think you are a watch party guy, or you're not.
Yes,
I would agree.
Yes,
and I'm surprised that my two boys they were watch party guys last night.
Were they really?
Yeah. Oh. Now here's another thing too. It's like we heard the average ticket was about 4,000.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So I run into a former Channel 5 intern who's now a journalism teacher at Eureka High School. His name is Brent Pearson. Really sharp guy, great kid. I guess he's about 27. And he got season tickets. So he was sitting like about, you know, 20 rows up, and he paid like $200 for the ticket. And boy, those, you know, because they have to sell those at face value.
Yep.
That's incredible.
It's an advertisement for just buying a season ticket from the Blues.
How would you feel, though, if you spent, you know, if two of you bought $10,000 for two tickets and you're walking out of that place after a 5-1 victory?
Not great.
I mean, you can justify it by saying, you know, you experienced something that, you know, you may not get to go to ever again, you know, a chance to hoist the cup. So in that aspect, in that regard, I think it might be worth it. But for me, as I mean, I don't have, you know, the extra, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 for a ticket. I think I'd walk out of there pretty disappointed, especially with the effort that was shown and 5-1 beatdown. You didn't really get to see a great game as well.
How about this from Jimmy D? I was there last night at the watch party. Worst experience ever, and will never do it again. Yes, there was a rush right before the game.
Okay.
People, including little kids, were getting trampled, and then it happened again on the Metrolink.
Yeah.
Oh. Little kids getting trampled. Wow.
So I think the idea, like people, like who I talked to that were there, the idea of the gate was great because they did the perfect amount of people they said were in there. But once the game started and people started just bum rush, that was when it became a problem.
All right. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great, great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And let's begin with lap one. To quote or paraphrase Herb Brooks, will they take it to their blanking graves? They had the city in the palm of their hands. They had the cup in the building. They had almost all their former greats on hand to see it. They had all those glitzy numbers to back up why they closed out games like Bruce Sutter. They had Jordan Binnington about to officially become the new Kurt Warner. But the Boston Bruins did not get the script. And the Blues had a lot to do with it. Lack of forecheck, turnovers, a little lifeless after the beginning of the game. Bottom line, the Bruins kept the Blues on the outside. That's the easiest way to describe this Game 6. The Bruins kept the Blues on the outside. Here's how it ended.
Resilient themselves, Doc, here in Game 6. And when it was a game, Tuukka Rask was enormous. Clinton with one last shot, snagged by Binnington. And the Bruins have forced a Game 7 by a score of 5-1.
All right, now I want to ask both of you, because you're in the business and because I get countless emails and texts about how unfair the broadcasters have been in the series about the Blues. I only watch the third period, the first two periods of the press box. So I hear the third period. I don't get it. What do you guys think?
I mean, to me, I thought it was really noticeable in the Shark series.
In this series.
And in this series, I don't see it. And last night's game was hard to determine because the Bruins really kind of, you know, were the talking point. They were the ones scoring the goal. They were the ones, you know, Tuukka Rask with one making big saves. So it was hard for them to highlight any Blues players or any Blues plays. So I think this one is much more even than it was last series, if I can compare.
I mean, the Blues lost 5-1. There's not going to be any happy talk about the Blues in a game where they, you know, I would say even mostly for the first two periods. The third period was just a disaster. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I mean, if you want them to talk heavy about the Blues probably have to win. I think all the upset people about the San Jose Sharks maybe getting a bit of a...
I thought it was a little over the top.
It was more
again,
Evander Kane and the puck hit the post. And they talked about that even when the Blues were still up 4-5-0 during that game. That was annoying. Last night, it was just, and even for the whole series, if they've talked longly about Boston, it's because Boston, like in Game 3, was dominating that particular game.
And if you watch, the afternoon coverage was all about the fanfare for St. Louis. So I think in the game, maybe it's different, but they certainly hyped up St. Louis, the fan base, and the team all afternoon and evening up to puck drop. So I had no complaints about the broadcast.
When I asked Doc Emrick that question about 7 or 8 days ago, he just kind of smiled and he said, I root for the guy scoring the goal. Mm-hmm. I root for the goaltender making the great save. And I tend to believe Doc, although these people that are just won't stop texting and emailing and saying, somebody sent me an email once because I quoted Tuukka Rask's unbelievable save percentage and how good he's been. They said, why don't you just go work for NBC Sports Network? You Bruins suck ass. Just terrible. All right. Left two. The penalty box for the Blues is their Pandora's box. Braden Schenn, Ryan O'Reilly go in, and Brad Marchand takes a bullet pass and unleashes a rocket.
Pastrnak across, Kruger shot, save, Bennington, rebounds, Bennington, back to Kruger, across to Pastrnak again. Pastrnak sent it across, score! What a shot by Marchand! And it is 1-0 in favor of the Bruins, and they still have a minute 39 on the second penalty.
I got to tell you something. You know, look, I don't want to gush about the Bruins, but that shot, that pass was really hard. And, you know, a lot of guys would have to stop it and shoot it. That guy one-timed it like another guy who was in the building last night cheering on the Blues, Brett Hull. That was unfreaking believable. So sometimes, as Tony La Russa likes to say, you just got to tip your hat. That was an incredible one-time. All right. Another thing is, you know what's amazing to me? Is we have a Game 7 coming up. And one team is 7 for 21 on the power play, and the other one is 1 for 18. How the heck do we have a Game 7 when you always hear that special teams that kind of determine championships, and one team is 7 for 21 and one is 1 for 18? That's insane. All right, on the other side of the coin, the Blues did have some power play chances. They actually did, okay? They had 12 shots on goal. But you know what? Chances and a buck will buy you a Diet Coke. Is it coaching? Is it personnel? Is it the Bruins? I don't know. But I got to tell you something. In this offseason, if you don't hire a coach, I'm talking not about a head coach. Craig Berube obviously is going to get a 3 or 4 year deal, and he should. But you better have somebody on that staff. And maybe the guy is on that staff, and he's not allowed to do this. But you better get somebody on that staff who knows how to run a power play. All right, lap three. The bottom line about this game is their goaltender was better than our goaltender. Okay? It's not that complicated. Jordan Binnington stole Game 5. Tuukka Rask won Game 6. He had 28 saves. And he has the best save percentage on the road in NHL playoff history since they started tracking the stat, I think back in 55 or 56. If they win, he wins the Conn Smythe, no questions asked. Now, if the Blues win, I'm not sure who wins it. I mean, Binnington would have to get a shutout in Game 7. I think I'm leaning towards Ryan O'Reilly. But it's 50 career playoff wins for Tuukka Rask. The man is playing his best hockey at the most important time. Now, we'll get into Game 7 in just a moment. But if you look at Rask, do you think the Blues score 3 goals off him with the way he's feeling and playing in Game 7? Do you? The Blues were certainly impressed with Rask.
Well, you don't get goaltending. You don't win very often. You know, we're no different than anybody else. We need good goaltending. We supported him eventually with some goals. Got one early. I think that always helps everybody.
Things were going his way tonight, and it's going to be a challenge. Just we face hard goalies or tough goalies all playoffs. So nothing changes.
I don't think we did a great job shooting the puck. You know, I myself had a couple chances that I didn't put where I wanted to. And, you know, it's tough. You know, I gotta put that puck in an area and make it tough on him, and we can do a better job screening.
So that was Bruce Cassidy, that was Jordan Binnington, and that was Ryan O'Reilly.
You couldn't tell it was Bruce Cassidy because he didn't have a pacifier in his mouth when he was talking about Tuukka Rask.
Wow. And Binnington, well, he's had better days at the office. Now, the Petro and Blais turnovers didn't help matters. But this shot by Brandon Carlo did take an odd bounce, but I think he's got to stop the puck.
And along now it is deflected, pointing it on back. Kept there by Carlo, and his shot. Score! Carlo with a seeing-eye bouncer from the right point that becomes the second goal of the game.
All right. Let's go to lap four. So we have the first ever Game 7 in Boston. And they have everything going for them. The hotter goaltender, their stars coming off a game where two of the three on the perfection line scored. They have a legitimate power play. They have good mojo. But here's the question. How could anybody who has watched the 2019 Blues think that this is over? How could anybody? I mean, this is the perfect and the most appropriate scenario for the 2019 St. Louis Blues. It really is. First, it's a road game. 9 out of 12 on the road in the postseason. And second, it's a team of underdogs and surprises. It would be just like them to go to Boston and win Game 7. It really would. Did they blow a golden opportunity? Yes. But they're not worried. The head coach begins our sound.
Listen, if you told me 4 months ago we were going to be in the finals of Game 7, I think I'd take it. We've been a good road team. We've won twice up there in this series, so we're a confident group.
We said in this locker room, if you would have told us in January that we got a Game 7 to win the Stanley Cup, we'd be pretty excited in this locker room. Obviously, right now it sucks. You have a chance to close them out in Game 6. We didn't play our best tonight, and you got to play your best to win the Cup.
You're not going
to
win every game. It's not going to be perfect, and we're going to regroup here and prepare and play our game, get back to our game, be disciplined, and stay composed, and hopefully get a better outcome.
Berube, Shen, and Binnington. Interesting, Berube and Shen basically said the same thing. That's what they're clinging to right now. All right, lap five. Stream of consciousness about the game. First of all, Charles Glenn's anthem was just insane. Did they play that on NBC?
Oh, yeah, they did.
That was a good one, too. He held that note for a while.
So that was his last one. I hope they can find a way to bring him back for some select games. He was incredible. What a great man. And I got to tell you this. Before the game, maybe about 5 o'clock, he is playing with a blues band in one of the concourses. And, you know, the reason that Charles is stepping down, and he told us just on camera, was because of his MS. Well, he was actually dancing around. And I asked him, I said, what's the story, man? You were moving great. And he said, I took some Advil.
Huh.
And he's just awesome. We were walking down the steps with him, and all of a sudden, he sees Jenna Fischer, and he and Jenna Fischer embrace. Tom Stillman, before the game, was actually walking through the stands and taking pictures with fans. Somehow, I can't picture Eno Stanley Kroenke doing that before a Super Bowl. All those Blues alumni on hand, there must have been about 30 of them. So cool. What an alumni base. What a town of great hockey passion. Did they show the shot of the alumni during the game?
They did before the game.
Yes.
I'm glad they didn't during the game.
Okay. Because they had one shot. I don't know if it was the television side or just on the big screen, where they pan over, and then they go, and Cam was one of the last ones, and Cam flexed like a wrestler. It was great. Cam, by the way, is setting a record for most broadcast outlets. In addition to doing pre and post on Channel 5, heard him on KMOX, heard him on The Morning After, and then he'll have his own show today. And the thing about Cam is he has so much energy, and he also gives the town hope. You know? Most media members are cynical. It's over. They can't go to Boston. But Cam gives you hope. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Oh, no. That was stream of consciousness. This is the Cardinals. We have one Cardinal thought. All right.
just one.
Yes. I want you to know that I have nothing at all against Jeff Albert, the new hitting coach of the Cardinals. Seems like a pleasant fella and comes highly recommended. All right? I have nothing against this man. So this season, Jeff Albert is given one of the best hitters of his generation, Paul Goldschmidt. He gets the healthy Marcell Ozuna. He gets the revitalized Dexter Fowler. Last year, the Cardinals slugged .409. This year, they're slugging .408. Their strikeout rate is nearly identical. Boy, it's a good thing they got rid of that John Mabry fella. He's the reason the Cardinals couldn't hit. Please. Here's my take on hitting coaches. They need to work really hard. They need to get there hours before the players get there and stay, you know, maybe an hour or two afterwards. They need to develop a solid working relationship with players. And, of course, they have to have good knowledge of that player's swing, okay? Then it's up to the player. So I find this interesting that Jeff Albert has probably, well, he definitely has more talent to work with, and it's the exact same. Maybe we don't blame the hitting coach. Maybe we blame the player. And I'll tell you what I would do with this offense. And I know he hasn't been on fire lately. But I'd put Jose Martinez every day in right and platoon Harrison Bader and Dexter Fowler in center. And if Fowler continues to flounder, I'd sit him some more. But this is brutal. They can't win in Chicago. And, you know, you thought, hey, they turned the corner. June came. They swept the Cubs. Split with the Reds. Get swept by the Cubs. It's not good. Not good at all. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. Mike Claiborne's going to join us at 10:30. Martin will be here at 11. But before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino. I hope you're enjoying watching the games at 99 Hops House. I've talked to some friends out there who have gone out there, and they said the place is crazy. Kids don't get trampled out of Hollywood Casino. It's air-conditioned. The food is outstanding. It's just a great place to watch a game. And a friend of mine did sample that great Final Cut Steakhouse. He said it was just outstanding. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. We appreciate them being a part of the program. We'll be back with Mike Claiborne.